This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Recording in progress.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Abam. It's your favorite time of the week. And don't think I'm just imposing that on you. Even Reb Tzvi, he agreed. Even though I paid him to agree, but still he agreed. No. Welcome, everyone. Baruch Abam to the Kol Agudah Perka, Monday afternoon, National Shiur. We have amazing material today on Parshas Korach, Agin Chodesh Tammuz. Firstly, make sure you have the Sefer Berachos HaTzadik. The third edition is already in America. It's a beautiful Sefer. You could take advantage of the Moida of Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen Huberman, who said he decided to daven for all those who learn his Sefer and say over his Torah to others. It's now being worked on in English for art school if anybody wants to participate. Now, last year, Tzipisu Yeshua was published, and the organization Marbitzei Torah distributed over 600 copies to those who committed to learn the Sefer. If anybody wants to get a free copy of the Sefer, contact Marbitzei Torah. That's MARBITZEITORAH 1@gmail.com. Tell them you want to learn the Sefer. If you commit to learn the Sefer, they will send it to you for free. Or if you would like to sponsor other people to learn the Sefer, we're now approaching the 3 weeks. And if you want to be Ma'orer Yidden to make Tzipia LiYeshua part of their everyday Avodah, please contact us. If you want to help, actually today this Sefer is going to print in Spanish. And we're still looking for someone to dedicate the volume. Hopefully by in an hour or so, we'll have an answer to that question. Or if anybody wants to participate in the publication of upcoming volumes, including Sefer Avas Yisrael of the Chafetz Chaim, please let us know. Today we're going to talk about a difficult time for Korach. Please take a look at the screen. We know the opening pasuk of this week's parsha. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi v'dasan v'aviraham b'nei Eliav v'ayin ben Peles b'nei Ruvain. And there is a name which is conspicuously absent. We're giving the whole Yichus Brivel of Korach. He's a son of Yitzhar. He's a grandson of Kahas. He's the great-grandson of Levi. What happened? We'll just take it back just a bit further. What happened to Yaakov Avinu? Why don't we say Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi ben Yaakov? Rashi says we don't mention Yaakov's name because Yaakov was Mavakesh Rachamim, that his name should not be mentioned in association of the Machloikis of Korach. Like it says, Uvekolam al Teichad Kevoidi. So Yaakov davened, Hashem, leave me out of this. I don't want to have anything to do with Korach. When the story is recorded and his ichus is given and he say he's the son of Yitzhar, the grandson of Kahas, the great-grandson of Levi, no, don't say Ben Yaakov. So in the Sefer Likutei Mamorim, Shvilei Pinchas, Tavshinayin Beis, Hagoyen Reb Pinchas Friedman asks, this is not the only time the Jewish people sin. And why is Yaakov Avinu davening specifically for this sin, leave my name out? Why didn't he daven, leave my name out of the Meraglim? Why didn't he daven, leave his name out of other, the Mesoyninim? Why specifically did Yaakov pray that his name should be left out of the episode of Korach? Now, when we see the name Korach, it should trigger something in our memory. We should say to ourselves, you know, I think I've seen that name before. Where have we seen that name? Eile aluf evene esav b'nei alifaz b'char esav aluf teman aluf aymar aluf tzifoy aluf kenaz aluf koirach koirach koirach. What's koirach doing in Parshas Vayishlach? But koirach was one of the alufei esav. Comes the holy Chassam Sofer, and he says, I can't believe it. I can't understand how the B'nai Levi could call their child a name after the Alufei Esav. Doesn't the Gemara in Yuma tell us on Laman Chesan Amad Beis, Shem Rishayim Loi Maskinan Bishmayu? It says, V'Shem Rishayim Yerkav. We're supposed to let the names of the wicked rot. You're supposed to leave the name. If someone has a wicked ancestor, so you let their name rot on the shelf, together with all their old newspapers. Why would the B'nai Levi utilize the name of the Alufei Esav? What's going on? What was wrong with them that day, the Chassam Sofer asks. When Yitzhar had a baby, and it was the eighth day, and the Moel, the guy who got Kriya Shem, says, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu Kayem Es Hayeled Hazeh L'Aviv U'Limoi V'Yikarei Shmoi B'Yisrael. And he leans in and he like motions to Yitzhar, what's the name? What were the B'nai Levi thinking? Kairach? After the Alufei Esav? Says the Chassam Sofer, maybe this is why the Pasuk says Vayikach Korach, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kahas Levi. It gives us three generations. And usually we say there's a rule, V'hachur ha-meshulash loy b'mehera yinotek. And yet in this instance, it was yinotek. Why was it yinotek? It was yinotek b'mehera. Because Vayikach Korach, all the goodness that could have come out of this family was taken away because of the name Korach. The name Korach affected it, Lara. It was because of this evil name that he was given. It took everything from the fact that he was Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kahas, Ben Levi. The name Korach took away everything. And by the way, the Chassam Sofer writes this not only in his commentary to the Chumash, but in the Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. He brings that in a halachic sense, that the base Levi also had a son called Zima. Now, that's not a very good sounding name. Zima sounds like Arayos. Says the Chassam Sofer, maybe they didn't know yet what David HaMelech said, Baruch HaKodesh, Shame Asher Sam Shamois Ba'aretz. And they were not Nizar not to call their child a name called Zima. And the proof is they even called their descendant the name Korach. And look what happened to Korach. In other words, Chassam Sofer in his Tshuvas also attributes the downfall of Korach to the fact that his name was the name of Arasha, one of the Alufei Esav. And the Chassam Sofer says, what happened to the Gemara in Yuma, Lamed Chesem and Beis? V'shem Rishaim Yerkav Amar Rabbi Elazar Rakvivus Tale B'Shmoisan. Let rust gather on their name, Delay Maskinan B'Shmayo. However, says the Shvilei Pinchas, although the Chassam Sofer criticizes the B'nai Levi, we are obligated to justify and try to understand what were the B'nai Levi thinking. Why would they give them this name? Certainly, this could not have been, you know, their go-to option. This, even if they didn't know V'Shem Rishayim Yerkav, but isn't there a certain common sense? You want to avoid such a name? Why did they give the name Korach? Now, there's another interesting idea. Because there was someone else who fell into this dispute, and he was saved. This person's name is Oin Ben Peles. What was the story with the wife of Oin Ben Peles? The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Kuvtes Amad Beis, Oin Ben Peles, his wife saved him. She says to him, "You have nothing to gain, because whoever the leader is going to be, you're going to be second in command." Meaning, Oin Ben Peles said, look, you want to say there's nepotism? I don't know, maybe yeah, maybe not. But what do you have to gain? If Korach's going to be the leader, you'll also be second in command. You have nothing to gain here. So he said to her, what should I do? I swore to them. He says, nah, the one thing I know is that they might be Bali Machloikes, but that doesn't mean they're not farfrumt. You know, that's never a stira. Frumkeit and Machloikes, unfortunately, are not always contradictory to each other. So she said, I have a great idea. They're very, very holy people. By the way, the biggest fights are from the holiest, for the holiest causes. So what she said is, I'm going to save you. She gave him to drink some wine. He got drunk. She put him to sleep. She sat outside. She undid her braids. And anyone who passed by, you know, did an about turn. They didn't want to chas v'shalom look at the uncovered hair of the wife of Oyin ben Peles. Now, what did Korach's wife say? She says to him, "Ay, ay, ay! Look at you in the mirror. You look like, you know, you look like you're from a third world country. Look what he did. Moshe's the king. He made Aaron the Kohen Gadol. And his brother's children, he made the assistant Kohen Gadol. If someone has to give truma, Moshe says, give it to Aaron. So Levi says, yeah, but Korach said, at least they give me Meiser. No, you have to then go give a Trumas Meiser back to Aaron. And then she says to him, have you looked at yourself recently? You know, when I married you, Korach, you were a dashingly handsome, yet Levi. You're a really handsome guy. You're a tall, handsome guy with a full head of hair. But look at you now. He shaved you like the American bald eagle. He shaved the hair of your head. He shaved all the hair on your body. He shaved your eyebrows. He shaved your eyelashes. He took every blade of hair off your body. You look like a bowling ball, Korach. You look like a disaster. You know what? Moshe was probably jealous of your dashingly handsome hair. That's why he shaved you. So it's interesting story of contrast. Oyin ben Peles' wife uncovered her hair, saved her husband through her hair. Korach's wife, aside from her claims that there was nepotism involved over here, she also said, look at you. Moshe Rabbeinu shaved you. You look ridiculous. You look like you're from Central Africa or something. You look like you're from the jungle. What happened to you? Moshe shaved you like the bald eagle. Anyway, what is this referring to? What was Korach's wife saying to Korach that Moshe shaved Korach bald? Well, if you remember, back in Parshas Bahaloscha, the pasuk says, "Ka'aches halviyim itoich b'nei Yisrael v'tiharta oisam." Take the Levites from among the Jewish people, purify them. They were shaved bald with a razor. The Medrash says in Bereishis Rabbah that when they shaved Korach, it says that kachas halavim, so they did that to Korach. So Korach went back home. Nobody recognized him. They had no idea who he was. They didn't know what happened to him. They thought maybe, you know, he was in some kind of nuclear reactor. He fell into a nuclear reactor. And they asked Korach, who did this to you? He said, Moshe. They said, not only that, Korach said, he took me by my hand and my foot, and he started waving me like a kaparos chicken. And he said, Atatar. Moshe Rabbeinu was waving Korach, Zeh Chalifasi, Zeh Tmurasi, Zeh Kaparasi. And Aaron, on the other hand, he dressed him like a kala in beautiful begadim. And Aaron looked like a million bucks. Aaron was handsome. Aaron was bedecked. Aaron was bejeweled. And Korach looked like the American bald eagle. He looked like a bowling ball. So they started to hate Moshe Rabbeinu and to fight with Moshe Rabbeinu. And they said, Moshe is the Melech. Aaron's the Kohen Gadol. His children are the assistant Kohanim. The Truma goes to the Kohen. The Meiser, Truma's Meiser goes to the Kohen. The Matnas Kuna go to the Kohen. And they started up with Moshe Rabbeinu. If when you think about these teachings of Chazal, you'll discover that the central theme of the story of Korach was hair. Hair was a big theme in the story with Korach. Beginning with the removal of Korach's hair and the other Levium, to Mekayim the mitzvah of Haviru Sarah Kovasairam, ending with the rescue of Oin ben Peles by his wife uncovering her hair. Why was hair a central detail of the story of Korach? This year we're going to call Korach's Bad Hair Day. Okay? That's the name of today's share. Korach's Bad Hair Day. Now, there's another important personality in the Chumash that where we find another important rivalry, where we find hair is a central factor. We know that one of the defining and central characteristics to differentiate between Yaakov and Esav, the contrast between Yaakov and Esav, Esav is called a hairy guy. Hein Esav achi ish so'ir. Esav was a hairy guy. And Yaakov Avinu was ish chalak. Yaakov was smooth. He wasn't so hairy. You know, some people, they're shaving already right after their upsharon. They need to start shaving their mustache. And then, you know, when they're 10 years old, they would have a beard down to the floor. And you have other people, they're 50 years old, and they're still waiting for a few sprouts to grow on their face. They when nobody's looking, they water it, they sit out in the sun. Now, eventually it's going to come. You still have time. You know, some people are hairy, and some people are smooth. What does hair represent in Jewish thought? What is the symbolism, the meaning of hair? The Sefer Arvei Nachal of Rab David Ivshitz, the author of Levushei Srad on the Magen Avram, he says, hair reflects luxury, wealth. Because hair is something you could live without. You could trim your hair. You could cut your hair. It would not affect someone's quality of life. You can't cut off your nose. You can't cut off an ear. You can't cut off your head. But you could cut off hair. Because your nose is a necessity. Your ears are necessity. Your hair is luxury. Likewise, Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz in the Aros Tavash says, hair reflects luxury. A person needs to distance themselves very much from luxury. The naturalists say, hair reflects luxury. That's why hair is always found in places of the body where there's a lot of moisture. That's why there's a lot of hair in the base shechi, in the armpit. Because there's a lot of moisture and sweat there, therefore, it, so to speak, it grows the hair. Therefore, there's a concept, the hair of the head grows with foolishness. Because we know that luxury is a reflection of foolishness. Because why get involved in it? Why? It's not necessary. It's empty pursuit. It's foolish. It's the opposite of chachma. So hair represents excessiveness, excessive nonsense, luxury. Therefore, a nazir who sanctified himself not to partake of wine, to minimize his luxury, we tell the nazir, okay, we tell the Nazir after the end of his Nazirus that he needs to shave all of his hair. That also reflects minimizing his luxury and to become more of a minimalist. And therefore, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, the Levium who are separated to be dedicated to Hashem and to serve Hashem and to sing to Hashem and to, so to speak, despise the desires of the time. That's why a Levi doesn't own real estate and the Levi relies on public support. So for the Levi, the proper course of action is giluach kol sa'aram, to completely stay away from luxury. They don't own land. They don't have regular careers. They don't serve in the army. They're totally dedicated to the service, the spiritual service of Hashem. They need to minimize their luxury as most as possible and to be dedicated for Kedusha. That's the reason why the Melech takes a daily haircut, because he has to be extra careful not to become immersed in luxury. Lo yarbe lo kesef, lo yarbe lo susim, lo yarbe lo noshim. Likewise, the Kohen Gadol, every week, he has to minimize his luxury. Says Rabbi Yonah and Abishitz, the upshot is, the purpose of man, the objective of man, is to abandon luxury, and especially a Baal Teshuvah. By the way, comes Abarbanel, and he says something amazing. He says, also, here represents taiva, therefore the service of shaving the hair of the Levium was, since Seah represents Moisrois, this was the message of keeping away from luxury. Now, here's the thing. What do we know about Kairach? The Gemara tells us in Psachim on Kufiyat Hesaman Aleph, the three wealthiest people, three of the wealthiest people who ever lived, Yosef HaTzadik found great treasures. Actually, not that Yosef HaTzadik, because he was supporting the world in years of famine. First they brought Yosef all the money. Then they brought him all the livestock. Then they brought him all the cattle. So Yosef had fabulous, stunning wealth. And he buried it. He hid it in Mitzrayim. And it became revealed to Kairach. It also was revealed to Antoninus. And the rest is revealed to the Tzadikim La'asad Lavai. But says the Gemara, sometimes wealth could be a disaster for a person. You know, most people think, okay, I'll take it, I'll try it. Let me see how disastrous it could be. But the Gemara says there's a concept, Oishar Shamor Lebalav L'Ra'asai. Sometimes wealth could be a great disaster for a person. And a prime example of that, says the Gemara in Psachim, is the wealth of Kairach. The Gemara says on the Pasuk, all of the possessions that are at your foot, Rebbe Lazar says, Kol Hayukum Asher Baragleihem, Amar Rebbe Elazar, this is the money of a person, that the person's money keeps him on his feet. You know, when a person has money in their account, it gives a person confidence, it gives a person stature, it gives a person boldness. The Gemara says the weight of 300 white mules were just the keys to the storehouses of Kairach's treasury. So says Hagoyin Reb Pinchas Friedman, he wants to say something new. Why the Bnei Levi refer to their son as Kairach? They understood Baruch HaKodesh, that they would have a child who would become fabulously wealthy. He would find a third of the great treasures of Yosef HaTzadik. And this would present him with a tremendous challenge. You know, friends, even though if you ask most people, what's a bigger challenge? The challenge of wealth or the challenge of poverty? Most people would say the challenge of poverty is a bigger challenge. But if you look in all of the Svarim HaKadoshim, it is well known that the challenge of wealth is a greater challenge than the challenge of poverty. Actually, in the Sefer Tzipisa Yeshua, which we were plugging before, and in a footnote, it's brought many, many marmakoimais of many svarim of how the challenge of wealth is a much greater challenge than the challenge of poverty. Let's see if we could find it. You ready? For example, the Al Shech HaKadosh in Vayikra, Chaf Hei, Lamed Ches, in Devarim, the beginning of the first parak, in Devarim, parak Ches, in Mishlei, parak Lamed, pasuk Ches, the beginning of Sefer Iyov, also the Malbim, and Devarim, the Pelayoitz, and Ashiros, the drushes called Levi. And, you know, the Chavetz Chaim talks about that in his times, because of the extreme poverty and how difficult it was to serve Hashem, the Chavetz Chaim said, therefore it's so much more likely for Mashiach to come because the zechus of the Klal Yisrael for remaining loyal to Hashem was so great. But we could say in our times, where we have the challenge of wealth, that's a much greater challenge than the challenge of poverty. So Shvilei Pinchas suggests that the B'nai Levi saw Baruch HaKodesh, that they would have a son who would find the third section of the treasures of Yosef HaTzadik, and it would be a great challenge to them. It would be a great challenge to Korach. He would get involved in Moisrois, in luxury, in pursuit. He would always have to get the latest model vehicle. He would always have to be upgrading his home, upgrading his pleasure intake. Therefore, they Dafka gave the name Korach. What does Korach mean? Korach means bald. Korach means bald, without hair. They were trying to inculcate in their progeny not to become immersed in Moisrois, in luxury. They foresaw that this individual would have a great challenge. He would one day discover the treasures of antiquity of Yosef HaTzadik. In fact, the Zohar HaKadosh also says the reason why he was called Korach is for this very reason, because he was bald. Why was he called bald? When Moshe Rabbeinu shaved him. By the way, it's very interesting. There's a Gemara in Bechoros on Daf Nun Ches. The Gemara says that the great Ben Azai said, Kol Chachmei Yisrael doimin olai keklipas hashum. All the rabbis, they're nothing to me. They're like the shell of an onion. They're like the outer shell, the outer klipa of an onion. How much does an onion cost? You know, a couple bucks. And the klipa of an onion, it's basically worthless. You rip it off. All the rabbis to me are like the shell of an onion, except for HaKereach HaZeh, except for this Korach guy. What? What does Ben Azai mean? All the Chachmei Yisrael were like the shell of an onion, except for this Korach. Says Rashi, who's Korach? Rabbi Akiva is called Korach, Kireach. Why? V'hadigar sinem b'kula shas Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. This girsa that we have in Shas, Yeshua ben Karcha, that's Yeshua, the son of Rabbi Akiva. That's the ben shal Rabbi Akiva, like we say in Shuas, Amalei Rabbi Yeshua ben Aisha, Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Akiva. And Ben Azai was a great chacham, and he knew how to distinguish very well. And nobody was of value to him except for Kereach HaZeh, Rabbi Akiva. Comes Tosfos in Bechoros, and Tosfos says that Rashi says Kereach is Rabbi Akiva. V'kasha, why is Ben Azai giving Rabbi Akiva this disparaging name, Baldy? He should say Chutz Mei Rabbi Akiva. Why is he giving him this disparaging name? You're not supposed to use a disparaging name. But if you look in the Chida says that Rabbi Akiva, he had sparks of holy souls. He was from the drops of Yosef HaTzadik. That's why he's called Akiva ben Yosef. And he also had some of the light of Yaakov Avinu. But the Arizal explains further, quoted by the Chida and the Shem HaGadolim, that he says that in the Sefer HaGalgulim, you know, there are various there are various opinions how to spell the word Akiva. The Or Zarua, in his introduction, says the reason why he named the Sefer Zarua is he wasn't sure how to spell the name Akiva. Is it Ayin Kuf Yud Beis Aleph or Ayin Kuf Yud Beis Hey? And he saw in a dream the pasuk Oyer Zarua Latzadik Uli Yishrei Leiv Simcha, and which are Sofer Tevois Reish Akiva with a Hey. From there he gleaned that Rabbi Akiva's name is spelled with a Hey at the end. However, the Arizal writes that there's a soul connection between Rabbi Akiva and Yaakov Avinu. That's why it says, Midei Abir Yaakov. The words Abir Yaakov spell out Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva with an Aleph. Rabbi Akiva with an Aleph. Also, there's a Sefer, Keren Or, that Rabbi Akiva was called Koirach because he was a nitzutz of Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu is called smooth, chalak, bold. Yaakov Avinu is called chalak, bold. Therefore, Rashi says Ki Reach is a reference to Rabbi Akiva because of Rabbi Akiva's soul connection to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was called chalak, and Rabbi Akiva was called bold. Ki Reach after Yaakov. And Yaakov being called bald was reflective of Yaakov Avinu's attitude in general toward luxury. Yaakov Avinu says, "Vayidar Yaakov neder lemar im yiyeh Elokim imadi ushmarani badarach hazeh asher anoichi hoylech." He says, "Ribbono shel Olam, v'nasan li lechem lechol, please give me bread to eat, ubeged lilboish, and clothing to wear." Question, why does Yaakov Avinu have to say, give me bread to eat and clothing to wear? As opposed to what? Bread to wear and clothing to eat? If Yaakov came into shul wearing challah, it might have been a little strange. If Yaakov Avinu ate his clothing, it probably would not taste so good. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, it is the she'ela of tzaddikim from Hashem. They don't ask for luxury. They only ask for necessity, only what they can't be without. Says the Rabbeinu Bechaye, it is man's pursuit of luxury that causes him great trouble. Therefore, a person should be joyous with his lot and suffice with what he has and should not desire luxury. There's a great principle in life. Don't increase your pleasure intake. Whatever your pleasure intake is, whatever car, house, don't look to upgrade. If when you go to sleep at night, your head hits the pillow and you fall asleep, then your pillow is working and your house is working, and then enjoy it. Toiv ma'at biyiras Hashem me'oitzaravu mehumabai. In any way, this is what Shlomo Melech says: Hatrifeni lechem chuki. So Yaakov Avinu is reflected by the name Chalak. He's smooth. And therefore Rabbi Akiva, who has this soul bond to Yaakov Avinu, is called Kireach, the bold one, like Yaakov Avinu. It has a great connotation. It has a beautiful meaning. It means someone who is separated from earthly pursuit, becoming immersed in luxury. Hair represents the pursuit of luxury. It's interesting, in the Paradis Yosef and Parshas Nasai, he brings from the Chayza of Lublin that Rabbi Akiva darshened every crown of every letter in the Torah. The crowns on the letters in the Sefer Torah, you know what they're similar to? They're like the hairs of the head. Rabbi Akiva was called bald. You know why? He left the Sefer Torah without any crowns. He was able to explain every single hair. In other words, Rabbi Akiva, in terms of his pursuit of Gashmias, he was completely bald. He was not immersed. He did not seek it. He did not search for it. Instead, the concept of hair of Rabbi Akiva was completely given over to the Torah. Rabbi Akiva devoted the desire for luxury to learning Torah. In Rabbi Akiva's mind, anything excessive in Gashmios, he did without. And he channeled the concept of Seyar. Rabbi Akiva channeled the concept of hair and he applied it to Tyrosenu Akdosha, where not only did he try to understand every S, he tried to understand every little hair. Rabbi Akiva harnessed the concept of Moisrois and he channeled it completely to the world of Ruchnias. So the Shvilei Pinchas suggests that that's the reason why the Bnei Levi called this individual Kairach. Kairach is a holy name. Kairach is the name of Rabbi Akiva. And the reason he's called Kairach is because he's named for Yaakov. Yaakov is a Yishcholak. So the Bnei Levi were trying to save Kairach. Says the Shvilei Pinchas, perhaps this is the reason why that of all occasions, Yaakov Avinu said, no, leave me out of this. I know that Kairach guy, they're naming him after me. Kairach Baldi is the name of Rabbi Akiva, and Kairach comes from the name Yaakov, who's an Ishchalak. So Yaakov Avinu says, no, the Bnei Levi try to save this guy. But ultimately, when he has his debacle and he has his downfall, I have nothing to do with this. Kairach, with whatever boost he had by being given this name that was the same nickname, so to speak, of Rabbi Akiva, he cannot overcome the allure of wealth and the temptation for wealth. And he became so enamored with money and so desirous of power and so desirous of kavod. And every appointment of Moshe Rabbeinu, he questioned, and he wanted, and he was jealous with great Soros Ayin. Yaakov says, I know they're going to blame me on this. I don't want to have anything to do with it. When they trace back the lineage of Kairach, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kos, Ben Levi, I'm out of it. I know his name, Kairach. You know, you're going to say, I'm connected with. Leave me out of it. This is the reason why, says the Shvilei Pinchas, specifically in this instance, Yaakov Avinu said, Besoidam al tavay nafshi bikahalam al teichad kevaydi. Rabbi say that was Kairach's bad hair day. Kairach's bad hair day. Moshe Rabbeinu tried to help him. He shaved off all his hair. He tried to curb his pursuit of Moisrois. But Kairach did not choose the path of moderation, and therefore he became too immersed in the pursuit of luxury, and the end was disastrous for him. And although he had this connection to Yaakov, Yaakov was mispalel bekalam al teichad kavoidi. So it's our ambition only to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, please give us what we need. What we need. Now, everybody there's no objective level of what is needed, but a good general rule is, don't try to increase your pleasure intake. Everybody is entitled to enjoy this world, but not to become immersed in it. Whatever Hashem gives, you should enjoy it, you should be grateful for it, you should thank Hashem for it, but not to seek above and beyond. Friends, have a great day. Bracha v'atzlacha. Thanks for joining. Kol tov.
Recording stopped.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.